You're locked in to the hottest station on the planet.
What's good, radio family? It's your boy, the Psalmist Voice, and you are listening to KBRG The Bridge. Walk with us, family. Let's go!
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, are you ready?
That's right, family and friends. It is the hottest radio network on the planet. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network has an all-star lineup just for you. TPV Reloaded, Sunday at 4 p.m., Wednesday and Friday at 11 a.m. The Caribbean Pepper Pot, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. The Grub, Monday at 12 p.m. Brother Don Presents, Saturday at 4 p.m. Man, Let's Pop at 6 p.m. every first Monday of the month. It is The Love Potion at 8 p.m. every second and fourth Thursday. TPV Wired Up, first and third Saturday at 8 p.m. TPV Presents by appointment only. You can also catch us on KBRG The Bridge or download Live 365. Walk with us. Let's go.
At Majal's Products, we care for a better you with our handmade natural ingredients to give you healthier skin, body, and stronger hair. Like our face, foot, hair, and body care products. To order yours today, please visit our website at www.majalsproducts.com or on Facebook at Majal's Products. Get yours today and get your faster results without breaking the bank. Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Josiah Khalid. Listen, you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio. Walk with me. Let's go.
Good afternoon, family and friends that are tuning in with us today on TPV Radio Network and those that are tuning in on KBRG The Bridge. This is The Grub. Yes, family and friends, it's that time of day. You know, we're not serving a dish today, but we're going to break down some vegetables and what are the benefits with those vegetables. And of course, each one comes with a scripture. So it is myself, I am your host, Niece, and I'm here with Pastor Jean Holmes today on the show. Sister Diane may not be joining us today. She has some errands to run, you know. So family and friends, Pastor Holmes, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
She is. Well, before we begin our show today, I'll let Pastor Holmes, I call her Pastor Jean, open with a prayer before we move forward this afternoon. So we're going to fill y'all with a little bit of vegetables today. So, Pastor Jean?
Amen. Precious Father, we just thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord God. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to come before your people, Lord God, with your word of encouragement, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you are a long-suffering, that you are a loving God, that you do not hold our faults against us, Lord. And as we come forth today with your precious word, we ask you, Lord God, to give life to the hearer. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. So family and friends, the first one we're going to talk about, the first vegetables we're going to talk about today is broccoli. It's something that some adults and mostly kids don't like. But The broccoli comes in several varieties, but the dark The Dark Hair Color More Beneficial Nutrition contains it contains, which has a strong anti-cancer effect, also high in flavonoids, reduce ovarian cancer, chemicals protect against stomach ulcer and stomach aches and lung cancer as well. Possible skin cancer acts as a detoxifier, lowering bad blood cholesterol, boosting the immune system. So this is why we have to put some broccolis in our life, because these are just some of the things that broccolis can do for us. So when we talk about broccoli today, we're talking about words are power, and it's coming from Hebrews 12:15. Exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another, to see that no one falls back from fails, to secure God's grace, his unmerited favor and spiritual blessing, in order that no root of resentment, bitterness, or torment, and the many become contented and defiled by it. Family and friends, when we talk about this verse, we have to remember that Jesus said, if you have faith, a firm, rely in trust, and do not doubt, even if we say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith and really believing, you will receive. Don't misuse the power of words by talking too much without faith or talking too little about your faith. Choose kind and gentle words that lift people and quiet gossip. Believe that God's grace will provide through what you say. And it goes back to a lot of things, you know. We just have to choose what we say carefully, you know, what we say. You have to stay away from that gossip, that nonsense, like I like to say. Just choose your words. Just choose your words wisely, you know. Speak in truth. Speak when you speak, and especially we as Christians, when we speak, we have to speak in righteousness. We have to speak truthful. We have to speak in honor. So just choose your words carefully, because sometimes, most of the times when we speak, we talk, we say things, we don't realize that the words we speak, how we hurt people. You know, they say the tongue is a very powerful thing, but it also says when you ask God for something in prayer, you should receive it. So, you know, just be very careful. Ask for the things that you need when you ask for it in prayer, not the things that you want. Because, you know, sometimes what we want, thinking that it's a need at that time, and it's really not a need, it's a want. So just be careful of the things that you say. Because words, to me, could be more damaging than physical abuse. To me, verbal abuse is more damaging than physical abuse. Pastor Jean, I'll turn it over to you.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. I'm here. I'm sorry. As far as words are concerned, Pastor Nisi, the word tells us in Proverbs 18 and 21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. God says that also we'll be judged for every idle word that we speak. So as far as God is concerned, words are very, very powerful. There's also a scripture that says that we hate the people that we wound with our lives. So those are very powerful scriptures. So we must yield ourselves to the Spirit of the Lord and allow Him to put the words in our mouth that He wants us to speak out of the out of that place where we allow him to deal with our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
I believe the word says that out of the multitude of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we speak, it's manifesting what's there in our heart. If we're speaking words of bitterness and hatred and malice and offense, then that indicates that our hearts are also that way. And the word tells us that if those things are in our heart, then we're not children of God.
Yep.
We're not children of God. And the wonderful thing about God is that because of who he is and what he's done for us, we can go to him and allow him to heal all of those things in our hearts so our hearts can be pure before him. Because the
yes.
word says that those are the ones that will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Clean hands and a pure heart. So God has given us his instruction, and as he's chose us as his children, there is nothing, there is no offense, there is nothing that we've endured or we've had to go through in this life that our Father is not able to deliver us out of. But it only happens when we yield our mind, will, and emotions to him and allow him to take control and allow him to go in and change the way we think and see things. And even you know, in those places where we try to justify because we were the victim, God can even deal with that. He wants to deal with that because those things in our hearts block us from his love.
Family and friends, you know, like Pastor Gene said, we have to have a pure heart because it comes from the heart. So family and friends, just again, be careful of what you have in your heart. So we're going to move on to our second vegetable of the day, which is Brussels sprouts. To me, Brussels sprouts is like, I don't like it, but Brussels sprouts is also good for you. It's has a high level of vitamin C and many immune boosting nutrients, rich in safarin compound, which is a detoxifier to help clear the body of carcinogens. It also helps prevent DNA damage when eaten regularly, and may help minimize the spread of breast cancer. Contains small amounts of omega-3 fats, zinc, and selenium. It also contains BS, which is helps lower the risk of prostate and lung cancer when also eat regularly. So when we talk about Brussels sprouts, we're talking about powerful, and it's in Ephesians 1:19-20, and in his comparable great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And we have to understand, did he really give me the same power you used when you called Christ forth from the dead? Did you really give me the same energy, the same force, the same almighty brand you hold within your being? I guess so. After all, we as children inherit the traits of parents. As your child, I can claim your qualities. I am powerful because of you, because you are powerful. But what does that mean, family and friends? What should that look like in our life? I guess it means that we need to quit worrying about stuff. Although we cannot always control our circumstances, we have the power to control our reaction to them. We can be peaceful because God is powerful. We can be calm and loving and kind, even when others aren't. Because we are so calm and loving and kind, we can display all these qualities without being a doormat. We can stand firm, flex our spiritual might, and do it with a sweet attitude. Now, family and friends, that is power. We have to remind ourselves that our power today is in the Lord. We have to be reminded that when we rely on God, that we rely on God. And we don't have to be controlled by any other person or circumstances. We have to remember that we are powerful because we are children of God. So when we talk about this scripture, to me, what I'm getting from it, we know, we see, we taste, we feel the things, because those are power from God. Those are things that He given us. God is the Almighty and He holds all the power. He controls us. Even though we live in this earth, yes, temptation is there by the flesh, we still could control because we have a choice. We have a choice to react to the thing that is here and out, that is put in front of us. Family and friends, don't matter what you do, yes, we might inherit, like I said, we might inherit traits from our parents through our DNA and chromosomes, if you break that down. But we have a mind, and our minds are so powerful that it controls our body. It controls our thinking. And sometimes we have to think about things before we react to them. So not because the action is there, we're gonna react to where we don't have any sense, because we have a choice. We have a choice. God has given us that mind to think and to choose. Yes, we was not born knowing wrong and right, but as we grow older, we learn what's wrong and right. So the choice is yours. What is the reaction? What is the outcome when I react to that action that's brought forth to me? I also said, you know, we treat those that treat us bad or treat us ill. You just sometimes we have to stop and hold back and put some God into it and pray in that moment. But we treat them with love. We stay calm. We treat them with love. We be kind to them. And that's how we treat them. We have a saying back home where we say, kill your enemy with kindness. Meaning that when they treat you bad, continue being nice to them. You know, don't look for nothing back when you treat them with that kindness. That's just showing them that, not that you're better than them, but where you stay and stand in life is that you stand in a better place. You know, you're not going back to that back and forth with them, and we're going to, you know, worry about nonsenseness. You know, the great power for us is who believe, and we have to believe that that great power is for us. You know, so it's just all about, to me here, is controlling the circumstances in life that we could control. Yes, there's some that we can't, but control those that you can and just make the right choice. Pastor Jean?
Amen, sister. You know, in the book of Ephesians, there are so many promises, and not only are there promises, but God gives us also an understanding by His grace who we are and what we've really been given. And I think sometimes we allow the circumstances of life to control us and control our emotions, sister, because sometimes we really have not come to the place of understanding who we are and what are our many benefits, because we've been chosen by God. And if we back up in chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul is saying to them, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So he said, in this, because he is spirit, in the spiritual realm or in his kingdom, it doesn't say he will give. It says that he has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So what that says to me is that he has given me the ability, even though I'm still on the earth, and even though I'm still in this fleshly body, I have the Spirit of the Lord within me. And if I connect and submit to the Spirit of the Lord, I have been given by him as a free gift, because I belong to him, every spiritual blessing. And it goes on to say in verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonhood through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. And, you know, sister, that is such an awesome thing. I mean, it's very difficult for us in our natural ability and natural mind thinking to even comprehend how awesome and how wonderful this is. You know, if we, and I'm telling you, when I read these scriptures, I really have to say, Spirit of God, please give me a revelation of thing here. Because in this world, we have so many things that we go through, and rejection and types of abandonment and hurts and wounds. And then when we come and we begin to read the promises, these type of promises, it's sometimes difficult to believe that God would love us so much. That he would give us all of these blessings, that predestined even before we were born and came forth out of our mother's womb, that he already foresaw and foreknew us. Amen. And so,
amen.
And then it says that he chose us in his love, not to do works for him, not to worship him, but because he looked up on us, he predestined us in love and bought us forth. And that's, you know, that's a lot to wrap your natural mind around, because a lot of times as women, we spend our life trying to find that one person that will love us unconditionally, that will understand us, that will affirm us, you know, that will have our backs. And we struggle because we sometimes go from relationship to relationship, and we always end up, you know, we feel as though we end up being robbed of our emotions.
Yep.
And our true emotions are replaced with bad emotions, you know.
Yep.
And so we have here a father saying, but I chose you. I predestined you. I knew you. And I chose you as one that I love. And he said, not only did I choose you when you were in sin, I knew the sin that you would give to. I knew the things that would be done to you as you walked the face of this earth that would cause you to be broken and cause you to be troubled and cause you to be confused. But I chose you knowing that you would go through those conditions, but I didn't choose you in love for you to stay that way. I also, in my grace, provided everything that you would need to be set free from all of that bondage. Because, after all, that's what you do when you love someone. Amen? It says,
amen.
In him we have redemption through his blood. That says that He loved us so much that he willingly gave his life and shed his blood. And you know, I used to think when I dealt with all of that rejection and trying to find acceptance that this man willingly gave his life for me. And during the time that he died on the cross, that was the worst type of death that you could die. It was a very painful death. It was humiliating, and the Romans devised it, and they were masters in torturing people. And this was a, you know, even the way they hung him on the cross represented a form of death where he actually drowned in his own fluid as he was nailed to that cross. So it was a very painful thing. And then even as he died on the cross, the pain of it was so bad that his father couldn't even look upon him. He had to turn away as his own son took our sins upon him so that we could be redeemed, so we could say we are the redeemed of the Lord. And so I looked up, you know, and I considered everything that he went through for me. That when he was on that cross going through all of that, he also had me in mind. And, you know, I had to really step back and meditate on that and say, you know, here I am looking for love and acceptance, and I can't find anyone to love me the way I feel like I want to be loved. But here this man is not just saying I love you, but he's proven his love for me.
Yes.
Even before I came, even before he predestined the time and spread out the space and determined when I would come forth, determined who my mother would be and my father would be, and saw, because he was the creator, everything that I would go through in this life and suffer in this life, but still said, it's not too difficult for my love, come forth. And I will give you the grace to master everything that this world throws at you, because I love you just that much. And I will forgive you of all your sins because I've chosen you. And it goes on to say, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us. He lavished the grace. That means everything, that grace included everything I needed, everything we needed. As we approached him, as we tried to draw close to him and understand, it included the ability to understand him, to know him, to love him, to become intimate with him. All of the things that I was seeking in the world and I walked away empty, his grace provided for me. Acceptance. Amen. So, you know, we have to really meditate on this type of love, and it's so sad, sister, because a lot of times before we come to the Lord, we've been so damaged in our emotions, we don't even know how to accept that type of love. We're afraid to be loved because we're afraid after we open up our heart, he's going to disappoint us or leave us just like we've been done, you know, prior to even knowing or realizing that he had his eye on us. Amen. So when we come to him, he has to even deal with that. He has to even know how to hold us and then let us go and then hold us and then, you know, let us go and deal with all of our unfaithfulness. Amen. A lot of times when we come to him, the Bible says in the Old Testament, we come to him like unfaithful wives. Oh my God, isn't that awful? That here he is, our Savior, our Redeemer, the lover of our soul, has done everything necessary to show us how much he loves us. And then when we come, because of what we've been through in life, the Bible says we're unfaithful. And you know, we as women, we desire faithfulness. It tears us down when we find out that someone we've given our hearts to has been unfaithful or have lied to us. But yet, Lord, the Lord is saying, I've always been faithful to you. I've been faithful to you when you were at your work. I've been faithful to you when you were at your, when you thought you were at your best. I've never been unfaithful to you. You can trust me. I've proven how faithful I am to you. Before you even considered me worth the knowing, I died on the cross, and I chose you in my love to become mine, to become part of my bride, to become my bride. And so we have to, you know, we have to understand, you know, how messed up we were and how messed up we are, and be honest and say, you know what, Lord, I want to trust you, but I have been so disappointed, and there's nothing I can do. There is nothing that I can do to make myself trust. I have to depend on you to change my heart, to heal the wounds in my heart and the fears and the disappointments. Oh, God, the disappointments, Lord God, one after the other. Because, you know, when we, and that's what God has spoken to me. He said, you know what you think, that I will do you just like every man that you've had in your life, from your father to your husband to the men that you worked with in the business arena. You think I will get you out there and then leave you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Forsake you.
And even though that broke my heart, sister, I still have to admit to the Lord, I don't know how to receive your love. I am still afraid of that type of love, because if I yield to it and open myself up to it, Lord, I am still afraid. I am still afraid I will do something that will cause you to think I'm not good enough. You know, because, sister, that's what the word, that's the lie the enemy has fed me. You'll never be good enough. You're not good enough. And so God had to patiently and lovingly love on me until, and then after a while of me beginning to trust him, be willing to give him those places of fear and doubt in my heart. Amen? And I can say that he's never, ever disappointed me. He's never disappointed me. He's never lied to me. He's always lovingly given me an understanding, affirmed me continuously, allowed me to feel his peace, allowed me to feel his spirit, allowed me to, and over a period of time, you know what, I began to accept that love. I began to believe in him. I began to, as I studied his word, believe and understand that he could never leave or forsake me. That if there were any leaving and any unfaithfulness, it would be on my part, because he was loyal. He was exactly what I had been looking for all this time.
Yeah, and that's just the thing about us humans living in the flesh. You know, we look for things in the wrong place instead of going to God and look for them. You know, like love, like happiness. These are the things that we look for with the person we're with or the person that we've been with. And it goes back to exactly what you said. You know, we move from relationship to relationship looking for these things in another human being instead of going to God and looking for them, because he could fulfill us with any emptiness that we have inside. And for me, that's something that I'm learning, and it's like what you said earlier, it describes me to the T, because those are things that I was looking for in another human being, in my spouse, the person that I've been with in my past. I've been looking for love. I've been looking for happiness instead of going to God and looking for these things so he could fulfill me. And in the flesh, family and friends, we have to take it to God, because only God could fulfill us with those things that we're missing. And if we're looking for these things in the wrong places, from another person, then who are we? Who is we as a person? Because we're searching in the wrong place. So what does that, to me, what does that say about us in a human form? How can we love if we're looking for love? How can we fulfill another person if they're looking for the same thing if we're not filled? So how can we do that? We have to take it to God and ask God. And like Pastor Gene said, we have to read the word and the things that he's telling us so we could overstand them, so we could gain that fulfillment, so we could love, so we could be filled with love, so we could be kind, so we could be calm. And those things, that when we have those things and we're filled by those things, we wouldn't be raged by our emotions when we don't get them from the person we with or the person that we've been with. Because that's what happens. When we don't get it, we end up filling ourselves emotionally with hate, rage. We act out because we're not getting them. But you have to take it to God to be fulfilled. That's where we have to take it, family and friends. So we're gonna move on, and we're gonna go into spinach. Spinach have many flavonoids, compounds, and act as an antioxidant and fight against stomach, skin, breast, prostate, and other cancers. High in carotenes, which protect against eyesight, rich in vitamin K, helps boost bone strength, and may help prevent osteoporosis. Spinach contains peptides, which are aspects of proteins that can lower blood pressure. High in vitamin E, help protect the brain from cognitive decline as we age. So family and friends, see why spinach is good as well. Like for me, when I make hamburgers at home, I use spinach instead of lettuce. I like spinach better. But when we talk about spinach, we're going to go into Hebrews 11:1, and is when I struggle with doubt. And this is a big one for a lot of us, especially me. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Is not everything we're going to see. Is not everything we're going to know. But we have to take it to God, you know, and say, Lord, it is by faith we stand. We want to have so much faith that we are fully convinced that whatever you have promised to me, you will always be able to perform it in my life. I know that my faith is a gift from you, and I pray that my faith, no matter how it is tested by fire, will glorify you and bring all the promises and honor that and glory that belongs to you. Thank you that you have given me your word, whereby my faith can be increased. That the word of God is the reason for our security, declined into the plagues of corruption, depravity, and violence. This is war, and there is no natural ground if you're not on my side. You're the enemy if you're not helping. You're making things worse in this spiritual war we live in. Would be good to ask ourselves whose sides we are on. Lord Jesus, I believe the Bible to be the inspired word of God, and I want to follow you all the days of my life. Family and friends, I mix two different herbs, two different vegetables, but that's okay. You know, We just have to have that faith in God. We have to believe. You know, no matter what we go through in life, he would carry us through. Like I like to say, in every darkness, there is a light. You know, God would show us that light in everything that we go through in life. You know, he would show us. He would help us understand the things that we don't. You know, it would be glorified. It would be glorified through him, family and friends. When we in doubt and when we struggle with that doubt, and all of us have been there, that we struggle with doubt, we just have to take it to God and say, I am in doubt. Help me. I'm struggling. Help me figure it out. Help me to understand the things that I cannot understand. Family and friends, it's all about taking it to God, keeping the faith, believing in him, believing that through him is everything is possible through him. He can walk us through that fire without even being burned. And that's to show how great the God that we serve, the God that we believed in, the God that we have our faith in. This to show how powerful and how mighty he is. Just by giving him our all, not half, not 20%, but giving him all of us, mind, body, and soul, taking it to him. Pastor Jean, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Amen. Looking at the scripture in Hebrews 11, if we back up a little bit in Hebrews 10, I believe that's 36, it says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised for. In just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Amen. Then it goes on to define faith. And, you know, the one thing that it says in the Bible, of course, says that without that faith, it's impossible to please God. And God has so richly given us this word as a roadmap, sisters, for whatever we need or for whatever we're going through, we can find a word. And a lot of times I find that my faith wavered when I did not apply the word for that situation. Amen. If, for example, I'm dealing with hurt or I'm dealing with bitterness or I'm dealing with offense, then that would be the proof that I needed. That would be the word that I needed to study. And once I begin to study words regarding offense or bitterness or anger, then the Spirit of the Lord would convict me in that area or give me insight into that area, and my faith, therefore, would be affected. Amen. Once I understood how God viewed offense or how God viewed fear or bitterness, then I could come to a place of conviction and then repent for my part of the sin and then trust and believe God to make that crooked path straight for me. And my faith, of course, is involved there. And so faith is strengthened because I'm able to see my Father move there. But I found that some people, as they journey through life, they may be disciplined enough to read the Bible daily, but they're reading it because they, in their natural mind, know that they are required to read the scripture, but they do not read it for insight in the areas that they need help or the areas that they're struggling. So, you know, how would their faith be activated there? And so that's what we find. We find that people
are not seeing the evidence of things hoped for because they're not applying their faith
to that area of need. So how can you believe that God can be a deliverer if you're not studying the word for that which you need deliverance of? Amen? So we make the word of no effect or little effect. And so we must begin to understand what it takes in order to activate our faith. You know, Father God, do I trust you? You know, checking in my heart. Show me in my heart if I trust you with this anger issue, if I trust you with this bitterness, if I trust you with the fear, or, you know, Father, show me my faith level. Do I have faith in you that you love me enough to change my situation, that you love me enough that you can meet my needs? You know, sister, when I was young in the faith and I would pray and ask God to meet a need or believe or ask God to heal me, you know, I would find that I would go to him and I would pray the prayer and say, Father God, heal me. The next day I would go and say, Father, please heal me. The next day I would go and say, God, please, I'm asking you to please heal me, Lord God. And you know what? The Lord spoke to me and said, you know what? You don't have to beg me. I'm not a man. You don't need to beg me. I heard your prayer the first time. You know, sister, I didn't even realize what I was doing was begging God. And I felt so, you know, I felt like I had done something wrong because I was begging God. And we don't have to do that because he is a heavenly Father that's already proven that he loves us and he only wants good things for us.
Yes.
And I really had to let him show me that the reason I was begging is because I didn't believe him. I didn't believe he would. Now, I knew he could, but that deep root of rejection in me didn't believe he would do it for me. So I felt as if I had to beg him. And he had to show me that was my attitude towards him because I still didn't think I was good enough. So when we allow the Lord to minister to us, he will show us what is hindering us from receiving from him. You know, if I pray not believing, then how can I receive? So there's so much to learn about the Lord, you know. And so we must,
you know, as you're talking about the different vitamins and the different foods that our bodies have need of in the natural,
then our spirit have need of certain things also. So if we realize that we're weak in the area of trust, then we have to apply the words, the scriptures that God has given us regarding trusting. And then we'll build up in our faith when we understand what he is saying to us. It would make no sense for me to concentrate on scriptures regarding walking in the call of God when I'm over here and I can't trust him to meet my everyday needs. That's so redundant. But we have to mature in the things of God. And, you know, if he says that without faith it's impossible to please him, then that's where, you know, we have to check. He's given us the ability to check to see, do I have enough faith? Do I trust him? Or am I just here because I heard that he will bless you? I heard that he would keep you. I heard that he would make me happy. You know, we have to judge ourselves to see where we really are. And then God is so gracious that when we come to him truthfully and humbly saying, I don't trust you, God. I don't know how to trust you, Lord. I want to. Help me. Help me to trust you. Father, is my faith genuine? If it's not, Father, I want you to show me. And that's how faith is.
When we go to the Father and then he answers us, then it's something that clicks that says, wow, he answered me. Wow, he spoke to me. And then you obtain more faith. But we have to try it. We must be willing to experience it. so that we can grow in it. Amen?
Yep, yep. And that's just it. Like, a lot of people, when they say they have faith in God and they ask, and because they don't receive it right away, that's when they like, okay, this ain't for me. I don't believe, because it don't happen right away. But what we all have to understand as human beings, you know, not because we ask for something that mean that we're going to get it right away, but we also have to remember that the God that we serve is an on-time God. It might be that we think we need it right then and there, but it's not right then and then we need it. But we have to remember that God is an on-time God. No matter what we're going through, or we feel like, oh, we need to get rid of this or get out of this or do this or do that, and we, you know, pray and ask God that, you know, take me out of this now or move me from this now, you know, it might not work right away. It's because it's not the right time. But we have to remember again that the God we serve is an on-time God. So, you know, sometimes you just have to seize and wait. And like Pastor Gene said, you know, we are talking about these vegetables and what they're going to do for the body. But yes, we also have to feed our spirit. And by feeding our spirit, we have to read the Bible and get to know who the Messiah is, get to know who our Father is. That's the only way we're going to feed that spirit. So when we have these attacks and we're going through these things in life, that our spirit is full. We know how to handle these attacks. We know how to get away and fight back against these attacks. So you have to feed your spirit. You have to feed your spirit. It's not going to come if you don't read the Bible and know what the Bible is telling you. Like, you know, we have scriptures that can help us with everything that we're going through in life. It is there. It is there. So why not prepare yourself? Why not feed your spirit and fill that spirit so you could know how to handle things day to day? Everything that we go through in this world, in this life that we live, the Bible tells us how to handle these things. The Bible tells us how to deal with them. So why not? Why not get to know God's word? Why not get to know what He is trying to tell us? What we need to know to feed that spirit, family and friends. So we're going to go on and talk about artichokes. And it's the unopened flower of a large perennial plant. The tender leaf base are more nutritious, central heart are edible. So the central are also edible. It's not the rich veggie source. It's not the richest veggie source of a range of minerals, calcium, iron, magnesium, and potassium. They're also high in fiber. It contains a compound called cyan that is said to boost liver function. So when we talk about artichokes, we're going to 2 Timothy 3:16, and we're talking about, have you noticed? And it says, all scriptures is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And family and friends, everything that me and Pastor Gene is talking about this morning and everything that Pastor Gene said this morning, you see how it's tying in? So when we talk about have you noticed, you have to ask yourself this question. Do you believe the Bible? Have you noticed that what used to be considered the essential of the Christian faith are slowly evolving or disintegrating altogether? Fewer and fewer people, family and friends, view the Bible as the inspired word of God. A growing number of people believe that the Bible is just a fascinating storybook. Perhaps this is learning of God's holy word stems from wanting to be politically correct or from pursuing our own desires rather than following the wise precepts of the Lord's teachings that keep us from going astray spiritually. Family and friends, perhaps this is falling away from the Word of God is the reason of our society's decline into the plagues of corruption, depravity, and violence. Matthew 12:30 say, this is war and there is no neutral ground. If you are not on my side, you are the enemy. If you're not helping, you're making things worse. In this spiritual war we live in, it would be good to ask ourselves, whose side are we truly on? We got to turn on that. Jesus, I believe the Bible to be the inspired word of God, and I want to follow you all the days of my life. So we have to really ask ourselves, how do we see the Bible? Do we see it as God's holy word and for us? Or do we see it as a fascinating storybook? To me, you cannot say that, you know, I'm a Christian or I have faith in God, but I see the Bible as a storybook. Then for me, if you see it that way, something really wrong with you mentally, because it is God's word. God's word is the truth. We have to live in God obedience and obey by him. And to obey by God, we have to obey by his word. How do we know his word? From the Bible, his teachings, his words in the Bible. He said, I am the truth and the truth is I. And how do we know that? It goes back to the Bible and his words in the Bible. So you, again, have to ask yourself, whose side are you on? What do you really realize is wrong? Not just looking at the wrong with the people around us, but looking at the wrong in our lives as well. How could we correct these wrongs? How could we know what is truly right? And these things, it goes back to the Bible and what the Bible teaches us to do and to know what is right. Family and friends, yes, we live in a world that is full of war. We in war. Spiritually, we are in war. How could you get out of this war? How can you free your mind from this disruption that we go through every day in life? How could we know truly who? Family and friends, everything goes back to the Bible to free our mind of the corruption, to free our mind from everything. It goes back to the Bible. You know, we have to be inspired by God's word to believe in his word. We have to read to gain that knowledge, to know his word. We cannot say we're going to follow God all days of our life, but we're not reading his word. Like I like to say, family and friends, a scripture a day keeps the devil away. And that's the type of world that we live in. We have to look around. If you're not for God, if you're not studying what he's trying to tell us and teach us, yeah, we're making it worse. We're making things worse. We are his soldiers. We are his vessels. God gave us the armor to fight the war that is in front of us, which is physically, mentally, spiritually. He given us that armor, and his armor is built upon his words in the Bible. He telling us how to fight, how to fight this battle. We fight in this battle, family and friends, but the war shall be won with God on our side. And we have to realize that mentally, and we have to overcome that. We have to come up with this mentality that we have here living on earth of understanding. We have to stop standing under, but it's time for us to rise and stand over the things that we have in this world, this negativity, this corruption, this spiritual battle that we fight in, family and friends. We have to come up with that mentality. We have to free ourselves from the corruption that the society that we live in is putting us in and have us thinking of that mental corruption, family and friends. So yes, you have to ask yourself, where do I stand? Where do I stand in my faith? What am I? Like Pastor Gene said, God loves us so much that he has given us so many things. It's around us. But we have to stop being blind to society and open our eyes spiritually to see the things that God has given us because of his love for us. Family and friends, it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. It's time to wake up. The Bible is inspiring. It is our teaching for us to live a better life. If you've seen it as a storybook, man, you got to wake up and smell the coffee because it's something that God have left behind for us, not to make the same mistakes that was already made. Some of us are living life in a cycle. It's time to break that cycle. It's time to break that chain. Free yourself. Free yourself. Stop making things worse and start making things better. When you start reading the Bible and you start learning the things that God has put there for us to know, to gain that knowledge, and we believe. When we believe, we gain that faith. When we do, changes because you start becoming a better person. You start for those that in the faith and say that they live in like Christ or Christ-like. We have to stop and live. That's how we better ourselves. That's how we better ourselves. We can never be God. We are not perfect. We will never be perfect. We would never have the perfection of God, but we can live like Christ. We can live in that righteousness. We can live in that goodness that he has given us, family and friends. Sister Pastor Gina, I'll turn it over to you.
Amen. You know, sister, I think sometimes we forget the invitation. We forget what was spoke. We forget the covenant that we made. And you, when we said the sinner's prayer, and it's such a simple prayer, but, you know, I find oftentimes that when we recited the sinner's prayer, we really did not understand what commitment we were making. And it's such a simple prayer. I mean, it could go, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and live. I want to trust and follow you
as my Lord and my Savior. Now, and you know, I know people have, you know, ladies said, let's say the sinner's prayer. Who wants to say the sinner's prayer? And repeat after me. But a lot of times we did not even comprehend, sister, what we were saying. You know, sometimes we say, well, I'm going to join the church today. So you repeat the sinner's prayer, but you have no idea. You don't even comprehend. You're just repeating what they said, but this prayer says, I invite you to come into my heart.
Right. Yep.
I invite you to not only come into my heart, but to live there. And very seldom does the person that's telling us to recite or repeat this prayer give us a revelation of what that truly means. Okay, now, you're saying this prayer. Is this really what you want? Are you really, really inviting the Savior of your soul, the one that died for your sins, to come into your heart and live? Do you know what that means when he comes into your heart? I want you to really consider what you're about to do here. This is a covenant that you're making between you and Christ Jesus. Amen? You're saying, I admit that I am a sinner and that I need forgiveness. And I believe that you can forgive me because you died for my sins. You know, we really don't understand a lot of times what we're doing when we speak with our mouth. You know, we're talking about how powerful words are. We're releasing these words into the atmosphere. Amen? The Father is hearing what we're saying as we are praying. Father, I am a sinner. I need to be saved from myself. I believe that you died for my sins, and I believe that you can forgive me. And I turn away from my ever. After my will today, Lord God, I choose to turn away from my sins and invite you to come into my heart. You know, and I think that a lot of times because we're not really conscious of what we're saying, the decisive decision that we're supposedly making today. You know, sister, sometimes I think God only comes into our head. and we don't understand that we must invite him into our heart. So we embark on that journey with just head knowledge of God, and we think, well, I know what to do now. I got to come to church. I have to come to the members club. I have to study the Bible. I have to pray. I have to read. And of course, God can use those things. But if we really comprehended what we were doing, God could do it so much easier, so much quicker. Because the salvation is just the beginning of the journey. It doesn't mean you have completed the journey.
Yep.
It's almost like knocking on the door saying, hi, my name is Jean, and now I want to know you better. I want to understand what it means that I have invited you into my heart. What do I do from here? What do you do when you come into my heart? What happens now? And in 2 Timothy, it says, the scripture that you read, and I'm reading from the Amplified, it said all scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, what does that mean when we say so every word is God-breathed? That means to me that God is so powerful that in the book of Genesis, he spoke and created everything. That he is so powerful that during those 6 days of creation, sister, we were all so created. But he stretched out time and determined when we would come forth. He's not still creating, sister. He's so powerful and so awesome. It's already been created.
Yes.
And he's the one that determines the day and the hour and the time. And God gave me that revelation because there was a time when I said, God, I have to know for myself that you're real. I don't want a preacher or someone else to say he's real. If I'm going to serve you, if I'm going to entrust my soul to you, that when I die and leave this world, you have a kingdom, a place that you have gone to prepare for me so that where you are, I may be also. Father God, let that be real to me. I must know for myself that that is true. And God has to give me my own personal revelation of how awesome and how powerful he is, that he has already done it, that he stretched out time and determined when I would come forth. And it's scriptural, sister, that he determined when you and I would meet. He determined that we would be on this program together. He already predestined who would be listening to this program, because that's how awesomely awesome he is. Amen? He spoke
Amen.
And the world existed. He spoke and the world existed. He chose to make man in his own image. He chose to make, think about that. When he created us, just reflect on that for a second. He said he made us in his own image.
Image.
And nothing else was created like that but us.
Yes.
That we are the apple of his eye. He said angels look at us and they can't figure out why he loves us so much. We have to meditate on scriptures like that and then come back and say, God, I see this. I don't understand myself why you love me so much. Give me a revelation of why you love me so much. Who am I that I'm the apple of your eye? Who am I that you desire to fellowship with me? That you want a relationship with me? Who am I? See, when we say the sinner's prayer, we have to understand that's a powerful thing. That's a powerful commitment. That's us saying, you know what, God? I'm taking you at your word. I'm taking you at your word. I believe that you can forgive me for my sin. And, Lord, you know, they are many. They are many. I don't even know if I'm able to forgive myself for some of the things that I've done. And, you know, there have been places where I've had to say, God, help me to forgive my own self so that I can accept and receive your love. I don't know how you could forgive such a thing as I've just done. But then he says, but I died for that. Don't you think that when my son died on the cross, Gene, he knew what you were capable of? Don't you know that when he put you in your mother's womb, he looked at your life from the beginning to the end, and he said, it is not too difficult for me. I give you grace. I give you grace to conquer every obstacle, everything that this world would try to throw at you. Now come forth. Amen? So it's a win-win. And then he also said, I came that you may have life, Jesus, and have it more abundantly. Amen? I've come to give you everlasting life. I've put my seal up on you. Child, you are mine. I've empowered you to subdue the enemy of your soul. And you know what? I'm not going to take you out of the world. I'm not going to take the enemy out of the world, but I'm going to endue you with the power and the authority to subdue and master your enemy.
Yeah.
You know, we have to allow the Lord to show us who he really, 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 really is. Once we say the sinner's prayer, then it's by choice that we get to know him in our heart. It's by choice that we allow him to come into every area of our hearts and as he sees fit, clean it up, clean it out, and then deposit more of himself into us. It's by choice, sister. And a lot of us, you know, we've not been taught that.
of Family and Friends. There you got it, from Pastor Gene. So we're going to move on to the other vegetable, which is asparagus. And for me, asparagus was a vegetable that I didn't like before, but now I like it. So asparagus, the plant chemical, glutathione contained in asparagus is found to be an anti-inflammatory and helps rheumatoid arthritis symptoms. Rich in soluble fiber, oligosaccharide, which acts as a prebiotic in the gut by stimulating the growth of healthy bacteria, also contains vitamin C, fluoride, magnesium, potassium, and iron. A good source of vitamin E, an antioxidant that helps the heart and the immune system. That's right. So see, asparagus has so much good things. It helps with rheumatoid arthritis, with the symptoms. It also helps with the heart and the immune system to help keep it healthy. When we talk about asparagus, it's coming from the First Thessalonians 2:8, and we're talking about communion. Because we love you so much, we are delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. God give us the spirit of communion each day by our life. When we come to the table, we sense the unity, love we have with others who believe and share a cup and in the bread. This is the blood of Christ. This is the body of Christ. This is being part of your family. When we share with others this moment at the table, we are inviting them to experience the gospel. Our heart for those in the body is strong. We go beyond the invitation to the table and begin to invite him in our life. This comes with a risk and lots of what if question. But it is sharing God's life that it becomes meaningful and useful to us. So my understanding, and I'm going to help ask Pastor Gene to help me out with this, because family and friends, I was raised in the Catholic Church. For me, they go where you take classes, and where after the classes you could take your first communion. I did not complete that class, so even up to this day, I do not take communion when I go to church. Like I said, I was raised up in a Catholic church, and I still have some mental thinking on the Catholic, where it comes, the Catholic belief when it comes to communion. So with this, I don't know much on, so I'm going to ask Pastor Gene to help me understand communion. So Pastor Gene, I'm going to turn it right over to you, because this is something that I am not knowledgeable on. So I'm going to ask you to break it down and also help me understand communion. I know it's weird, it said, God said to the table, this is my blood, drink it, and this is my body, I share with you. But as far as to go in anything else deeper, I really don't know. So I'm gonna hand the torch over to you on this one. Pastor Gene?
I'm sorry, can you hear me now? I was just talking away. I was talking away. Can you hear me? I have muted you out, so you couldn't hear the background. But okay, I'm sorry. Communion was something that Christ did right before the Last Supper, before he was preparing for burial, but to die on the cross. And so when we define communion ourselves, not even involving Christ, it says that it's the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings. Amen?
Okay.
Especially when the change is on a mental or spiritual level. And Christ commanded us to do the service of communion in remembrance of him. So I don't understand myself based a lot about the Catholic and their observance of communion or the taking of communion, but I can tell you on my own personal conviction and Christ commanded us not to do it with sin. If we're about to take communion and the Spirit of the Lord convicts us or shows us that we have an ought with our brother, that it's such a special and a holy and an intimate thing that we're supposed to go and make it right with them, and that we're supposed to examine ourselves even before we partake. If there's any sin in our heart, that we are to submit our hearts to the Lord and repent of that sin before we partake of that communion. And you know what? It was so serious. And in his word, he said, that's why there are many sick among you, because you have taken the communion and you've not made it right with the Father, and you've not made it right with your brother. So it's a very serious something that we partake of in the eyesight of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he's told us you're just not doing it to go through the ritual, but you're doing it in remembrance of me and what I've done for you and who I am. I am the Son of the living God. And you come to him and you come to this table because you believe in my Father and you believe in who I am and what I have done on your behalf, because I love the Father and because the Father loves you. So we don't take it lightly. And sister, there have been places where I know I have been in open sin. I will not take communion because maybe in my heart right then and there I cannot find a place of forgiveness. I don't know what to do with it, but I've humbled myself and said, God, I can't take this because I know there's guilt of sin in me, and I ask you to help me, and I ask you to show me how to come to you in a spirit of brokenness and receive forgiveness for that sin. But at this point, I opt out of taking communion. It doesn't mean that I'm not seeking God for forgiveness or restoration, but at that point in time, I'm not, you know, I don't feel that peace. I don't feel like I've made it right with God. So I have opted out of communion. And, you know, sister, let me tell you this. There have been places where maybe I'm looking at the people that are administering it or situations that are going on in that particular fellowship, and maybe there are situations there, and I choose not to commune with them in communion. And I'm not going to get deep into that, but if there is disharmony or disunity, I choose not to partake of that, because communion, as far as I'm concerned, is a very special thing between me and my Lord and my Savior. And yeah. I refuse to go through the motions of it if it's not in my heart to do.
There you have it, family and friends. Pastor Gene broke it down for us. So we're going to move on to the last one on, well, I can't say menu today because it isn't solve menu, but we'll give you some help with that with some scripture as well. So the last one, you know, we have all green vegetables. So we changed up on this last one, and we're going to talk about beets. So we're throwing a little red in there as well. So if you didn't know, now you know that beets come in white and gold and purple red. Is the and purple red. But they're saying purple red is the best source of nutrients in betaine, which gives its deep color even pretend an antioxidant than polyphenols in its effect on lowering blood pressure. High levels of nitrates in beet juice work like aspirin to prevent blood clots and to help protect the lining of the blood vessel. Red beet is also rich in antioxidants, which prevent colon and other cancers. So there you have it, family and friends. I don't know about you, Pastor Jean, but I don't like beets. To me, it just tastes like dirt. It just have a weird taste.
My God,
taste.
I love them pickles.
Oh, no.
One of my favorite foods, pickles.
You know, my mom used to eat it like right out the can or with the beets and the kind of mixed vegetables, and then she would add some mayonnaise to it. And she would eat like that. I hated it, nothing I was a fan of growing up. So I personally don't like it. But when we talk about beets, we're coming from Isaiah 65:16. And to go with it, we're talking about speak blessings into your life. And Isaiah 65:16 says, "He who invokes a blessing on himself shall do so by saying, May the God of truth and fidelity bless me, and he shall swear by the God of truth and fulfillness to his promise, because the farmer troubles are forgotten and because they are hidden from my eyes." Family and friends, when we talk about speaking blessings into your life, it could go both ways. You can bless or curse yourself with your mouth. You can bring a blessing by speaking positive truth from God's word, or you can bring curse by speaking negatively. Satan is a deceiver, and he tries to bring you trouble and then influence you to prophesy. That's the same kind of trouble for your future. But you can choose to bless yourself, family and friends. If you mentally stop living in the past, you can begin to think and speak in agreement with God. Take notice of the things that you say, because what you say does matter to you and to your well-being. Say what you believe Jesus would say in your situation, and you will open the door for a miracle working power of God. And I could speak on that one personally, saying that I have a saying, mouth say anything, but it's true that you can also bless and curse yourself at the same time, because when you speak negatively and you stay in that negative thinking, that's what becomes of you, around you, and in you, because you speak so negative about everything and everything that's going on in your life, that situation that you're going, you know, through instead of being positive about it and seeing the positive outcome of it. We tend not to do that, and it all plays back on our emotions that we're feeling at that time. But, you know, we have to speak positive and think positive. Last week, Tuesday, I talked about positive thinking. And, you know, that's where we have to be mentally. You know, we have to stop being in that mindset and set our mind to positivity. And once we start doing that, it goes back to everything. When we speak positive, you know, you feel good about yourself because now your mind have set to that positive thinking. Then you could see your blessings because you speak in that positive in your life. You know, yeah, when we do speak negative, yeah, we do cuss ourselves. You know, we suffer with the anxiety, we suffer with the depression, we suffer with all these things that Satan wants to see us go through. Have I been through those stuff? Yeah. I have suffered. Sometimes I still do suffer with the anxiety. I still do from time to time suffer with the depression. Honestly, it's because I sometimes go back to that mindset of negativity instead of completely setting my mind on the positivity. But yeah, it's the emotions that I go through at that time that put me in that way. You know, I'm working on myself and I'm asking God to deliver me from these things. I'm asking Him to keep me on that positive set of mind that I could always be positive. You know, I'm still going through a lot of things emotionally in the flesh. I'm still fighting with demons that I'm now trying to bury and just leave it behind of me. Yeah, we're not perfect. Yeah, we do fall back. And that's where you ask for that deliverance from God, because, you know, we're not perfect. But once you have that positive mind and you start thinking positive and you speak that positive into your life, then we wouldn't have these fallbacks. Then we wouldn't have to go and, you know, repent our sins or repent what we said and stuff because we didn't mean it, and we let our emotions get the best of us to make the worst of us. So, you know, be positive, think positive, you know, go back to God and act and speak in the way that He would act and speak. So that's just my full take on that. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Gene before we close out the grub for the afternoon. Pastor Gene?
Amen. Uh-oh. You know, I'm looking at this particular scripture, and I looked for the definition of a oath. And it's a solemn promise, often invoking a divine witness regarding one's future action or behavior. And so as we're looking at Isaiah 65, we find that the Lord has come to His children. And basically, they're in a position now where they've been humbled and they're repented, and God is communicating with them and basically saying that you're mine. You're mine. You belong to me. And He's saying to them, this is the oath that I will make with you. And that's what we find Him saying. And if we look back at verse 11, it says, but as for you who forsake the Lord and forget my holy mountain, who spread a table for fortune and fill bowls of mixed wine for destiny, I will destine you for the sword. And all of you will fall in the slaughter, for I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not listen. You did evil in my sight and chose what displeases me.
I mean, this is the oath. This is what the Lord is saying to the inhabitants during that time. He said, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my servants will eat, but you will go hungry. My servants will drink, but you will go thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. My servants will sing out of the joy of their hearts, but you will cry out of the anguish of heart and wail in brokenness of spirit. You will leave your name for my chosen ones to use in their curses. The sovereign Lord will put you to death, but his servants he will give another name. Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the one true God. Whoever takes an oath in the land will swear by the one true God. For the past trouble will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes. Thus saith the Lord. So what we're finding here is that God is repositioning those that have been faithful, those that have been obedient to him, in regardless to their past sins. He is making an oath with those that love him. And so what he's saying is, I also give you the right to use my name. You can use my name to invoke a blessing in this place that I have given to you, that I have restored to you, and I promise you that I will be with you, and I give you the right to use my name to make a oath because you now understand who I am. Amen? Amen? And so...
Amen.
So he's saying to the ones that have been disobedient, my chosen ones, I give the authority to use your name in their curses. The ones that have forsaken me, the ones that have been disobedient. And that's how powerful God is. And that's the authority that he's given us when our hearts are right and our relationships are right. And we're walking in righteousness that if we speak a thing, he will perform it. He tells us that in the New Testament, whatever is bound on earth must be what was already bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth that we're speaking, right? We're speaking and we're binding. We're speaking and we're loosening. But he's saying that when your heart is submitted to me, and you're operating from my kingdom, I will make sure that whatever you loosen will manifest, and whatever you bind will be bound. This is the authority that I give you because you are mine, when you're in right standing with me. Amen?
Amen. So family and friends, there you have it, the grub with myself, niece, and my co-host of the day, Pastor Jean Holmes. We will be back next week, Monday, with a whole different menu. As of right now, we don't know what we're serving, but you know we're going to bring something good to the table. As we always do, family and friends, stay tuned, stay blessed for next week, Monday. Tomorrow, the Caribbean Pepper Pot will be on, and I am talking about the power of hope and spiritual thinking. So those are my two topics that I'm throwing into this Pepper Pot tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. So once again, for those of y'all that's listening on KB, RG The Bridge, and here at TPV Radio Network, thank you guys so much for supporting us. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to bring to you what God has given us to share with you guys. So like I said, you know, next week, Monday, we're bringing a brand new menu. So like I said, stay tuned, stay blessed. Before we leave for the day, We had Pastor Jean open up with a prayer, and we're going to have her close with one as well. Pastor Jean.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. We just thank you, Lord God, again for life and liberty and freedom today. We thank you so much for your word, Lord God, that has the power to save, has the power to heal and deliver and set free, Lord God. Father God, you are all powerful, Lord God. You are, we acknowledge today that you are our creator, that you are Father, that you love us, Lord God. Father God, that Father God, you know us by name, and Father, we acknowledge you. We exhort you, Father God. We extol you today because of who you are. We thank you, Father God, for this program, Lord God. We thank you for the men and women of God who you, Father God, have given a vision, Lord God, for this ministry, Lord. We ask you to bless them, Lord God, and meet every need, Lord God, and continue to use them, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for the favor that you have given them, Lord God. And so, Father God, we pray now for each listener, Lord God. We pray that something was said today, Lord God, that will inspire them and challenge them, Lord God, to seek you even the more, Father God. You said that your word, Lord God, is so powerful, Father, that it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish everything that you intended for it to accomplish, Lord. So we pray right now, Lord God, that your word, Father God, will find a place in the heart of each listener, Lord God. And Father God, it will come in with the power, Lord God, to bless them and allow them, Lord God, to feel your love and your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Father, again thanking you. We love you, Father, for who you are. Amen.
Amen, amen. So again, family and friends, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in. And we will see you next week, Monday. Hopefully Sister Diane would be able to join us. So once again, family and friends, thank you so much from here at TPV Ministry and KBRG The Bridge.
We love you. God bless you.